praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. In 1924, Witness Lee was dynamically saved by the Lord as a young man in his native China, and he promptly consecrated the rest of his life to the gospel. He co-labored with Watchman Nee for parts of the next three decades. And in 1962, Witness Lee was led by the Lord to come to the U.S. in California. During his 35 years of service to the Lord in America, he ministered in weekly meetings and weekend conferences, delivering thousands of spoken messages. He gave his last public conference in February 1997 at the age of 91. We're happy today to be able to bring you recorded excerpts from his speaking and encourage you to contact us if you have any further questions or comments. Just send email to radio@lsm.org. Now let's join today's show. Many Christian teachers talk about the Christian life being an exchanged life. Our natural created life exchanged for His eternal life. But the Bible doesn't use this language. Rather, it speaks in Romans of a grafted life. This is our focus today on the life study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry. We're very pleased that Dick Taylor has joined us once again for another life study of Romans. Dick, welcome back to the life study program.
Thank you. Very good to be back with you, Chris.
Dick, we're going to join Witness Lee today in a discussion where he refers to the picture of a hand filling a glove. This picture is very marvelous, and we have used it from time to time, but review it for us again today, if you would. There, no doubt, are many who have never heard this picture.
This is perhaps the best illustration of what's on God's heart. The Bible teaches us clearly that God's desire is to fill man with Himself. So He purposely made man in His image and after His likeness. Just like a glove is manufactured in the likeness of a hand. And when you look at a glove, isn't it true, Chris? It's just like the four fingers and the thumb of that glove and even the palm. It's just like they're calling, "Hand, please fill me." It's like they're demanding a content. In other words, there's such a similarity between the glove and the hand that you can only conclude one thing. This glove was designed to be filled with a hand. And when a hand fills a glove, then the glove is the expression of that hand. The hand is the content, and the glove itself becomes the expression. We have human virtues, such as the human love. All of us have human love. But that human love needs the divine content. So just like a finger of the glove is calling and even demanding that the proper content come into it, that is the real finger. So we, created in God's image and after His likeness, even with all of our human virtues, are so similar to God that there's a demand and there's a call there. Oh Lord, come in and fill me with Yourself as the reality. When Christ fills the container with Himself, then He becomes the content and the container becomes the expression. So the hand and the glove is tremendous. It's like the thumb. What's the thumb? We could say the thumb is like our human will. But the human will, without being filled with the divine will, is still like a jellyfish. So we need definitely, strongly, absolutely, to be filled with Christ as the reality of our human container. So the thumb of the glove is manufactured in the image of a thumb. The fingers, the palm, everything about the glove speaks only one thing. Hand, come in and fill me up and be my reality.
Dick, thank you for elaborating on that picture a little bit. Of course, you can put a lot of things in a glove.
That's true.
It can contain many different kinds of things, but there's
marbles, pennies,
sand. But there's really only one thing that really fills it according to the purpose in its manufacture or its creation.
That's true, Chris. That's right.
Let's join Witness Lee with today's life study.
This morning, I do have a burden. All these revelations are in the Bible, but I tell you, All were buried there. To some extent, to some Christians, all these are still buried. But hallelujah, in the Lord recovery, all these things been what? Discovered. Uncovered. Unveiled. No more veiling. No more covering. Hallelujah. If you could realize this, now you can understand the subject of this message. When the divine life enters into the human life, the divine life is the content, the hand, and the human life is the expression, the container, the glove. When you see this, you can realize this is not a matter of exchanging. I have a bad car, I trade it with your good car. I give mine and you give yours. That's a trade. That is exchange. When God, as the real content, coming into man as the container, this is not a trade. This is not exchange. Is this an exchange? No, there's no exchange. Not such a deal. What is this? God coming into man as the content, taking man as the container. This is not a trade. This is not an exchange. What is this? This is the dispensation.
Amen.
This glove is empty. And this glove is empty. And this glove is empty. Look at all the empty gloves. All the empty gloves are the flat tire. They are so flat because so empty. Now God comes to dispense. Just like pneuma. Get into the tire. To fill up the tire. Is this exchange? The pneuma in exchange with the tire? This is not exchange. This is what? This is dispensation. This is dispensing. So our Christian life is not an exchange life. It's a life which a better life dispensed into me. There's no exchange. But the divine life is dispensed, infused into my poor life. In Romans, Paul gives us three kinds of illustrations to describe this kind of infused life, not extended life. Firstly, he used the vessels. When the contents is put into the vessel, that is a kind of dispensing. Dispensing. Without these contents dispensed into the vessel is empty. And the vessel must be very earthy. It is not honorable, glorious. But the content is something honorable and something glorious. So when this content gets into the contained vessel, the vessel becomes a vessel of honor, a vessel of glory. And this is not an exchange, this is a dispensation.
Dick, as we mentioned in the beginning of the program, many Christians are fond of this expression, an exchanged life. But when a hand enters into a glove, there's not an exchange taking place, but rather a filling. Does the Bible use this description of the human life as a vessel?
Yes, the Bible surely does. And I like your utterance there, Chris, that when a hand enters into a glove, there's not an exchange taking place, but there is a filling. This brings us to Romans 9:21, where it mentions that God himself is the potter, and we are the clay vessels, but we're vessels unto honor. So God's desire is to fill these poor human vessels who are not honorable, but to fill us with the honorable treasure so that we could be vessels unto honor. Then in Romans 9:23, two verses later, it mentions that we are all vessels of mercy and were prepared unto glory. This indicates that one of the central teachings of the Bible is that man is a vessel to contain God, to be filled with God, and ultimately to express God. When man's human virtues are filled with God's divine attributes, our human love is filled with His divine love, then what happens? God is expressed through us. This means we're vessels resulting in and unto glory. Glory is just God expressed. So this is another precious verse that the Bible makes very clear, Romans 9:23. Then I think my favorite is 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we're just the earthen vessels, but Christ has come into us and is filling us. This is not an exchange. This is a filling. And the filling is to saturate us and to permeate us with Himself so that He as the content within these vessels could be expressed as glory. Content, we could say, makes us vessels of honor unto glory.
Dick, that was an easy question for you. Does the Bible use this terminology, vessels? It surely does, doesn't it?
It surely does, all over the place.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for more of our life study.
Do you believe marriage is an exchange of life? Suppose here is a young lady, and here is another person who is a man, and they get married. And marriage means what? Exchange. The exchange life. Is this marriage? Without two persons, there's no marriage. Marriage is a union. Union of two persons. But one head has to be covered. Covered where? Covered in the husband. My point, it is not a matter of equality. But my point is this. Marriage means union. And union is not a trait. You see, union is a kind of identification. Wives, you surely have to identify yourself with your husband. Marriage is an identification, a union, making you one with your husband, and making the husband one with the wife. A kind of union. Even the word union is not adequate. But anyhow, Paul says, you Christians have married yourself to a new husband. That is Christ. You see, Christ is our husband and we are His bride. Between the bride and the bridegroom, there's no exchange. Oh, from the time married to become one. One in person, one in name, one in life, one in existence. If you are going to have idealistic marriage, you must earn this oneness. Our Christian life is an identical life.
Dick, once again, we're looking at a picture to help us lay hold of the marvelous way that God accomplishes His purpose with us. In a proper marriage life, there's really not an exchange of lives, but rather a real and living union. Why is this a good picture or type, Dick?
This picture of marriage is also a good type because marriage begins, of course, with a wedding. Every wedding, there's a kind of a testimony that marriage is two persons under one head. Even the bride has her head covered, indicating that she is now taking her husband as her head, as her person, and the two have become identified, and the two are being brought into a union. So at the point of a wedding and entering into marriage, the husband becomes the person of the wife. And I appreciate this indicates to us there's not an exchange here, but this is an identification with one another and a union with each other. And in this union, the wife is one with her husband, and the husband is one with his wife. So marriage is a very good picture of God's desire in his oneness with us, and it also makes it clear it's not an exchange life, but it's a matter of identifying with each other and being brought into union with each other. And this brings us to our relationship with Christ. One of the highest and deepest revelations of Christ in the whole Bible is that he is our bridegroom and he's our husband. And to be a Christian is to be brought into union with him and to identify with him. You could say we are married to Christ, and now in this union with Christ, we have Christ as our person, Christ as our name, Christ as our life, and Christ as our existence.
It's a wonderful picture. We have another picture yet. This is a message of pictures today, Dick.
Wow. The next one is really something.
It is marvelous. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
But still, Mary doesn't give you a clear view of the organic significance of the two lives joined together. But one thing illustrates in full that is God. Thank God. Mr. A.B. Simpson, he wrote this hymn, he said, "This secret, the need to hide such a secret." What secret? A poor tree with a better draft, richer, sweeter life does take. He wrote this hymn, no doubt, according to Romans 9. I do believe Mr. Abe Simpson would never teach an exchange life. It is not an exchange life, but grafted life. In grafting, you surely can see two parties with two lives. Eventually, they all grow together, organic. I am not a scientist, but this is just my speaking according to my common observation, not in the kind of scholarly way. I got to know, if you do the grafting, it doesn't mean all trees can be grafted together. You cannot graft a banana tree to a peach tree. It doesn't work. And you cannot graft an orange tree to a pear tree. What trees can be grafted? They must be very close. The best grafting is this. A poor peach tree bears peaches. Small, poor, very poor. But there's another peach tree. Sweeter, richer, higher. And these two can be grafted together. Because in their life, they're very close. One day, when I discover this, I just admire. My, this proof confirms my experience. You can never graft a dog life with divine life. These two lives are too far off. There's no resemblance between these two lives. The divine life could only be close to our human life. Our human life was made in the likeness of God, in the image of God. My, our human life is not the divine life, but it is like the divine life. It is very close. So it is so easy to graft the human life into the divine life.
Amen.
Because these two lives resemble one to another. Not only close. Here is a poor peach, and here is a richer peach. It's easy because both are peaches to graft them together. Hallelujah. Oh, Mr. Abby Simpson says, a poor tree with bad graft gains what? Gains richer and sweeter life. But this doesn't mean the poor life disappears. The poor life still grows with the richer life. The two lives grow together to be one unit. This is not the exchange life. This is grafted life. This is a kind of a universal natural law principle ordained by God. When the poor life grafted into the richer life, you know what? The poor life could never affect the rich life. But the rich life always swallows all the defects of the poor life. Here is a poor peach tree. It's poor. It's sour. But when you grab it into the richer, sweeter peach tree, this poor tree cannot affect the richer tree. But the richer tree can transform the poor one. This is the law of the nature. This is the principle ordained by God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, when we are grafted into Christ, Christ doesn't swallow us up. No, rather, He honors us. Rather, He uplifts us. If He swallows up, He only swallows up all our defects. Could you follow me? He uplifts us. He uplifts our humanity. He uplifts our emotions. He uplifts our will. He uplifts our mind. He uplifts all human virtue. Eventually, it is all together not an exchange life. It's all together a grafted life.
Dick, what a marvelous presentation from Romans chapter 9 today. The best picture of the Christian life is probably the one that the Bible gives us, and that is of a grafted life. But for a graft to be successful, the two things being grafted together must be quite close in their life. There must be a strong resemblance. This really gives added meaning to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, where we see that man is created in the image of God, don't we?
Oh, yes. Two lives that are grafted, of course, have to be very similar. To be grafted together and to grow together requires a real similarity in lives. And you're right, Chris, and our Brother Lee's message is tremendous, leading to this highest demonstration and illustration of our organic union with the Lord, shown by grafting. I appreciate that in the vegetable kingdom, for example, if you consider a peach tree, a peach tree cannot be grafted with an olive tree because they're just not that similar. For sure, you could never graft a dog with a peach tree, but even an olive tree you couldn't graft with a peach tree because they're not similar enough. But you could graft a poorer peach tree with a richer, better peach tree. There's this hymn by A.B. Simpson, and the hymn goes like this. One of the verses says this, "This the secret nature hideth. Harvest grows from buried grain. A poor tree with better grafted, richer, sweeter life doth gain." I like this illustration because a poorer peach tree could be grafted with a better peach tree because they're so similar in life. And what's the result? The better peach tree actually swallows up all the defects, all the shortages, all the inadequacies. In other words, no longer do they have to be sour peaches. shriveled peaches, juiceless peaches, formless peaches, but now there can be sweet peaches, peaches full of juice, full of form, full of freshness, because the poorer peach tree has been grafted to the better peach tree. It's just like us. We, as believers, with our poorer life, have been grafted to this wonderful, rich Christ who is really the better one. So all these three examples in Romans of the vessels, the marriage, and now grafting really bring us to the highest illustration, which is grafting, to show us how the Lord is carrying out and accomplishing his purpose. Particularly, we can see it by grafting. And we, as brothers in the Lord, realize how poor we are, but because we've been grafted to Christ, the better one, all of our shortages, all of our defects, all of our weaknesses and inadequacies are being constantly swallowed up by his precious, triumphant resurrection life. Not only that, he is uplifting our humanity. He's uplifting our mind by filling our mind with his mind. He's uplifting our emotions by saturating our emotions with his emotions. And he's filling and saturating our will with his will. So we have to say, hallelujah for the grafted life. This is really the highest illustration of our organic oneness with the Lord.
Dick, we've had three marvelous pictures today, the hand and the glove, the picture of the marriage life, and now this, as you say, most marvelous picture of the grafted life, where the tree initially was cut so the branches could be grafted in.
Amen.
It's a wonderful picture.
Wonderful picture.
We have a wonderful Savior, Dick.
What a wonderful Savior.
Thank you so much for your fellowship today. Join us again very soon, will you?
I sure will.
And we'll be back with another life study from Romans with Witness Lee. I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs consist of excerpts from Witness Lee's spoken ministry, along with our discussion and comments, and all focusing on God's heart's desire that we would enjoy Christ as the divine life for man. There are more than 1,700 programs like this one available online, free of charge, that you can download, stream live, or add to your podcast subscription. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. That's lsmradio.com. You can also reach us by email, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.